trees and the birds and the flowers and just be there. Well, I didn't understand at all what she was doing with me, but I did what she said. I'm pretty compliant most of the time. And I still haven't gotten around to reading the lives of the saints. It's a matter of just letting yourself stop doing and letting God get in. We have our little granddaughter sitting over there in the corner, and it's kind of like when she plays peekaboo. She gets really quiet, and she kind of hides behind something, table, chair, bib, whatever's handy. And then she just waits until she can't wait any longer, and then she peeks out. And so there I am, and I'm laughing, and I'm talking to her, and I'm so happy to see her. And she giggles, and then she starts all over again, hiding, and then we interact again. And that's kind of how it is with God. It's kind of like he's right there. He's just kind of waiting for us to look out through our fingers, come out of hiding, and be there. And if we take time to let that happen, he's there. He, she, whatever you like to call God. And spiritual direction is a way of giving ourselves permission, giving ourselves encouragement, giving ourselves a guide to help us in this process of beginning to really hear God, listen to God, pay attention to God, see God, relate and respond to God. And for each person, that's a different journey. It's not like we're all the same and we're all going to experience this in the same way. For each one of us, it's different. Questions up to this point?
Could you speak a little louder?
Okay, that's my main problem.
It's very intimate, yeah. I mean, but I'm a little hard of hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
So what, when you are, you know, you're just wanting something, then it's really wonderful to get in touch with a spiritual director. Most times you can do that through some kind of a Catholic retreat center or convent or monastery or university or whatever. They almost always have a spiritual director on staff. You can connect with, I don't know if you're all Lutherans, but in the Lutheran tradition, they're relatively rare, but the numbers are growing. And my first reaction would be to tell you to connect with your synod office. They probably know if there are any Lutheran spiritual directors in the area. Okay. So you connect with a spiritual director. I'll say more about that later, and don't let me forget, because it's important who you connect with. But you get yourself involved with a spiritual director, and you meet with that person however often you need to meet. It's frequently once a month. Sometimes it's quarterly. Sometimes it's weekly. Sometimes it's on a directed retreat where you go into an intensive period for a period of 6 or 8 days and you meet with a director daily. So the schedule can vary depending on what you need and where you are and how far you have to travel and how often you can fit this into your schedule, etc. And what happens in those conversations, it's basically a conversation. It lasts about an hour normally. If you're traveling a long distance and doing it less often, it might be an hour and a half, two, but normally it's an hour. And that person will basically just listen to you. And the first time they will ask you to tell them about where you've been so far in your Christian life and how you relate to God and what God is to you. And from then on, it's a sort of a matter of traveling with you. There's different names for this. They all mean the same thing. You can call it spiritual direction, spiritual guidance, spiritual companion. There's another one, spiritual friend.
Soul friend, David.
Yeah, that's very new, and I'm not sure it has the right connotation. But it's someone to share this stuff that's going on in you with, because it's almost impossible to do that with anybody else. And so the next time you come with your spiritual director, she may have given you, he, she may have given you something to think about. She may have told you to go sit on the deck and look at the trees. Just some sort of way to get you into a discipline of paying attention to God on a regular basis and trying to fit that into your life. Now, the first time I went for spiritual direction, she told me I needed to sit down and pray and read the Bible every day. I didn't go back for about another 5 years because there was no way that I could figure out to be faithful to that. And so I figured, well, there's no sense going back there. I'm not doing what she told me to do. Nothing was happening in me spiritually. I was in the same old place I'd been for a long time. And so it was 5 years later when I finally could figure out a way to do this. And I went back, and my director didn't tell me to do that. Different directors do different things. The new director said, go sit on your deck. Listen to the nature things around you. So find yourself a director that you can work with. I couldn't work with that first one. I wasn't ready. There's things going on in her. There's things going on in me. It wasn't going to be a good match, and I wasn't ready. So you kind of have to feel your way into this. And so there will be some direction given to you to help you get kind of get started and unstuck. But once that's in place, mostly it's you coming back and saying, oh, I couldn't pray this time. That scripture you gave me, oh, just cut me to pieces. I couldn't deal with that. Or for some reason or another, I was really mad at God and I didn't want to do this. Or whatever it is. I mean, everybody's reaction at any given time will be totally different. Or you may come and say, oh, it was so wonderful. And so you just talk. And the director will ask you very open-ended kinds of questions to help you sort of think through. There'll be a lot of dealing with internal reactions rather than head reactions. Not so much, well, what did you think about that? But how did you respond? How did you feel? How did it fit with you? And then periodically, you know, well, now what are you thinking about God? What is God like for you? How are you communicating with God? And so it's really about developing this relationship. And for those that I've worked with and for myself, what happens is a real deepening of head knowledge in some way, but really much greater degree of some sort of internal understanding of who and what God is, and all those things in the Bible that we really want to believe and we say we believe, but they're really kind of out there and they're not real and they're cold and they come out of our mouth but it isn't really touching us. Those things become real. The first big giant step is to know like you've never known before that God really loves you. And it's like nothing else can happen, really, until you really get that. And that may take years. So sometimes it's a long, hard process for people to really believe God can love them. And when they do, then just things just burst open. So that's basically the process. It's a chance to communicate on things that you rarely ever say to anybody else. And it's a chance to reflect on what's going on in your prayer life and in your worship life and in your emotional life. It's a possibility to do all that, and the result is usually that life changes. Your priorities change, your goals in life change, you treat people differently, it becomes possible to really be a disciple and live more truly the way God really wants us to live, and also to become more truly yourself, and do things that are important to you, whether or not the rest of society thinks they're important to you. They're important to you. One of the major questions that comes up often in spiritual direction sessions is, what is your heart's desire? Discernment is a great part of spiritual direction. Decision making, puzzling out where to go next in your life, or even what to do in a relationship, whatever. But a bottom line question is, what is your heart's desire? Because that's where God is with us. In what will make us happy, well, what will make us whole, what will make us truly ourselves. And our desires are a really good indicator of that. You know, when you get down to the bottom line, what is your heart's desire? Not temporary goals, not necessarily career related, but, you know, deep down in you, you know, what is life all about? What do you want out of life? So nothing is out of the picture for spiritual direction. All of life comes into the conversations. I want to take just a moment to say what spiritual direction is not, because that's really more clear than what it is. It is not counseling. And it is not it is not pastoral counseling, and is not therapy in the sense of real psychological therapy, treatment kinds of stuff. Therapy tries to fix you. Counseling tries to fix your problems. And this isn't about either one of those, although you may sort of wind in and out of some of that. But if that's the focus, then you will be referred to a therapist, or you will be referred to a pastoral counselor or something. That's not the center. The center is just to help you grow, to become more aware and in tune and in relationship with God. Any questions?
You say it's not pastoral counseling, but it strikes me as being real close to pastoral care as it may be practiced by some pastors, or to what people ask for from their pastors.
It may very well be, we were in a training program of about 40 people, and I would say 3/4 of those were lay, but there were some clergy in there who found that this was in addition to what they were normally doing. It's pastoral care in the best sense of the word. It is not pastoral care attached to death or illness or tragedies. I mean, it's just sort of real pastoral care on an ongoing basis. Yeah.
In the Protestant faith, how many are men?
Of directors? In our program, let me think. There were a good number of men. Our program was from a Catholic sister's order. I would say probably 1/3 were men and 2/3 were women. Maybe not quite, you know, maybe not quite just 1/3, but probably close.
Not the same 1/4 that were ministers?
No, because some of the women's ministers were women.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting at, were there spiritual directors that were men that were not ministers?
I'm not sure I know that for sure. Let me think. Well, there was one who was a counselor and dropped out. Trying to think of the men. There was one who was a lay Catholic worker doing youth work with kids, but not a pastor. Were all the men.
Is that a factor when you're getting a spiritual director?
Sex should play a factor. Some sources say it's better to work with someone of the opposite sex. I've been more comfortable working with a woman myself, so I think it's personal choice. I have directees of both sexes. But yeah, the fit thing with a director is important. Now I have this, if you're really wanting to go home and get a spiritual director, I have this directory, geographical by geographical region, of all the people that belong to a group called Spiritual Directors International. They may or may not be the right director for you, but at least you can get names out of here and go back and find out whether they fit you. They may be of a total different mindset than you. They may be not very Christian. They may be wrong age, wrong interest, you know. So when you're settling in with a spiritual director, it's a good idea to sort of not quite interview, but almost kind of interview and see if this is going to be a good fit. See, you know, if they're kind of able to work with you personally on a personality level as well as a spiritual level, and whether you can trust them. A trust is a huge factor here in terms of trusting confidentiality and also trusting their judgment and trusting their faith life. A director needs to really be a very faithful, committed person in their own relationship with God in order to be able to be of any help to you, in order to be able to understand what you're talking about, in order to be able to help you grow. And so you want to pay attention to those things when you're seeking out a director. If you can find one in your own church tradition, that's wonderful, although we have found, both Brad and I have found, that the Catholic directors we've been to have been very open to our tradition and somewhat knowledgeable about it and not in any way trying to force us into their tradition. In fact, while they haven't forced us, they have opened us up to some wonderful things that Lutherans don't know about. So in that way, it's kind of nice and rich to be working with another tradition because they do stuff we don't know about. Any other questions?
How does a person become a member of that? Does that mean they've had some training, or do they just sign up and pay the fee?
Well, you pay a fee and sign up. I don't know that. I mean, I can't remember.
Any credentials for this?
I'm trying to think. I don't think they ever required of us any credentials to belong to this. But it is such a specialized area of interest that I don't think a whole lot of people would subscribe to the thing or belong to it unless they really were interested. They do a very nice journal 3 or 4 times a year. They do an annual conference, and they do some training within programs. So unless you were really interested, you probably wouldn't sign up. I can't honestly remember where there was any checking on our credentials.
I don't know if this was part of your training with this, but I think we spoke privately about a course I attended recently that touched a little bit on spiritual direction as coming from a Celtic tradition where everyone had, at least all monks, were required to have what was mm-hmm. called a soul
mm-hmm.
friend.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really a spiritual director, but that over the centuries, this evolved into the sacrament of reconciliation in the Roman mm-hmm. Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
the idea of private confession,
mm-hmm.
But in the sense of not the sort of punishing for it, like mm-hmm. go off and do a penance or something necessarily, so much as someone that you would regularly open up to
mm-hmm.
in terms of this sort of direction. And I think maybe...
But that's much broader than Celtic. I mean, it's wonderful that it's in the Celtic tradition.
But that was uh-huh. an interesting story there to say that this was a regular thing,
mm-hmm.
and that maybe, you know, we should be looking at mm-hmm. that as an enrichment
right.
of our spiritual lives.
It very much is. It's that's what it is actually. I mean, it's a chance to grow in lots of ways spiritually.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Usually you are asked to pay something for this. All the directors I know and have ever heard of we'll set a fee, a maximum fee, and then say you pay what you can afford to pay. They're not in there to get rich, they just need to make a living. And so they are more than welcome to negotiate what people can afford to pay. One of the directors I've worked with, I wasn't able to pay the full fee right then, apologizing all over the place, and she said, I worked with a lady for 5 years that could pay me 50 cents a time. And we both really rejoiced when she came after 5 years and said, I can pay $2 now. I mean, it was just a sign of her growth and things getting better in her life. And so don't worry about money. I don't think most people will be concerned about money, but there is some fee usually. I got to just check my notes, see what I've forgotten. If you haven't done this before, if you haven't started really relating to God, I should warn you that you're going to put up a lot of resistance. I mean, it's this wonderful warm feeling of really wanting to know God, but then when it starts happening, it's like, whoa, I don't know that I want to know this. I don't know that I want to know this about myself. I don't know that I want you to know this about me, you know. And so there's this push and pull and tug and back and forth, and that's why some of this takes such a long time to break down some barriers and to be willing to trust God, that God isn't really going to hurt you, even though some of this is going to be painful. The end result is worth it. But, you know, and so that's one of the things your director will work with you on is, well, I couldn't pray this week. Well, why was that? You know, what was that all about? Because that's, you know, what kind of feeling was down there? Well, it was fear. Well, what's the fear about? I mean, and just help you realize probably for the first time what you're resisting. And then realizing the foolishness of the resistance. I mean, because when you get it out there and look at it, it's so silly to be resisting this loving God. But we all do it, and we all have to work through it at our own pace and rate and way. But it's amazing how much resistance is there when God comes a little closer. It's like we don't want to reveal ourselves, even though he knows it all, he, she, forgive me, and we don't want to admit to ourselves a lot of stuff, and we don't want to give up control, and really this is about giving up a lot of control and flowing with God, which is pretty exciting, but it's really scary sometimes.
How long does an average thing go?
I don't know that there is an average. Sometimes people come for spiritual direction in a crisis. When the crisis is resolved, they're out of there. Sometimes people come when they're kind of working through a life stage change. Midlife is a good example. Lots of people get into spiritual direction in midlife crisis, or not even crisis, but just evaluating life and reshaping life while they have the chance. And that may last quite a while. Others are just sort of in it for the long haul and maybe don't come real often, but check in every so often just to sort of stay on track. So I don't know that there's a standard or an average even. It's very individual. Anything else you want to know that I haven't yet started to talk about?
Was there a strong sense of just being able to trust God to direct your life? I mean, can you explain what sort of things, how you felt you grew or where you moved
So you're asking me about my own personal experience?
If you don't mind. For
me, the hurdle of deciding that I could really believe that God loved me was huge. And that probably took 4 or 5 years. And during that time, I would make some ground, and then I'd backtrack, and then I'd make some ground, and then I'd backtrack, and then I'd make a little more ground, and then I'd backtrack. And the director at that point was mostly encouraging, not putting a lot of burdens on me, not putting a lot of, you must do this now, you know. It was just really just being very gentle with me and encouraging me. But once that hurdle crossed, I got across that hurdle, then it was like, it was such a joy to spend time with God. It was just so wonderful to read those stories in a new way. Oh, excuse me, I should say before I explain myself that the major food for this growth is prayer. Being able to sort of get into meditative and, if possible, contemplative prayer. A lot of listening. What we really have to do in order to get to know God is to listen to God rather than just talk to Him all the time. Okay, so it's learning how to read Scripture differently, and it's learning how to spend time with Scripture differently, and it's learning how to even dialogue with God, where you read this stuff, a particular story, and you kind of start talking to God. Well, I don't think that's right, or I couldn't do that, or what does this mean, or what did that feel like for you, Jesus? Or, and then just sort of receiving stuff back, not out loud, but just kind of in your heart somehow it happens, I don't know. So prayer is exceedingly important, and a great part of prayer is with Scripture. This is all very Ignatian, and maybe other directors do it in a different way, but this is my kind of direction, and it's how I've been shaped and formed. And so once I got across that hurdle of believing, really knowing I was loved, then the stories that you've known since childhood and you think you can explain to people take on a whole new life. And it's God interacting with you in those stories. And that's how you begin to really know what God is like. And how you also get to know yourself, because then you have to say, hey, wait a minute, and all that stuff. And sort of be able to, oh yeah, I can live with that. The path that I took was through an Ignatian retreat, and there are 30 days retreats where you go off and you just spend 30 days doing this. And Ignatius was wise enough to know not everybody could manage that, and so he wrote an annotation to the Ignatian exercises that says, you can do this over an extended period of time. He recommends 30 weeks. It took me a good year and a half to get through this. I just barely finished it before we came here. And that takes you through some really important stages of faith in terms of, first of all, accepting God's love, and then understanding your own sin and realizing you're still loved. And then spending a whole lot of time getting to know Jesus and how God is revealed in Jesus. And learning to love all of God. And then there's this time of a horrible section on the Passion where you go through all of that agony with Jesus. And then the wonderful time of the resurrection and his reappearance with the disciples and sending them out as disciples. In that process, I was able to grow from being totally self-absorbed and struggling to being open to hearing other people's needs and wanting to be of help. So it's like once you're loved, you can become a servant. And that's the whole point. But it's an evolutionary thing, and it takes some time. Getting back to the scripture thing, it's amazing how many people really don't want to deal with scripture. They really want to know God, and they really want to spend time with God, but they don't want a thing to do with scripture. There's too much baggage from years past with scripture. It's too hard, it's not understandable, it's cold, I don't relate to scripture, I don't want to read scripture. And so then what directors do are get you going on what works for you. Nature is a primary opposite source. I mean, how many of you can look at these mountains and not think something wonderful created all this? And so my director is gently telling me to go look at the trees. Music does it for some people. Art does it for some people. Poetry does it for some people. And so your director would work with you, helping you see God and experience God however you can until the time comes when you can say, oh yeah, I can read scripture now. I'm working with a lady now who just cannot deal with scripture. Very creative person, so she's working with sculpture. You fit with what the person needs.
Is it always a one-on-one thing?
Spiritual direction in this form is, but there is also group spiritual direction. It's not as common, but there would be a director or a facilitator. There would be a small group of people, 8 or 10 maximum, who would meet together they would choose once a month, once a week, whatever, for probably a couple hours. There would be sort of some joint opening, quieting time. There would probably be a scripture given, and then you would all go your separate ways and deal with the scripture or just reflect back on what's happened since the last time you've been there and what do you need to share with this group? What do you need to be able to talk about? Then the group would come back together and each person would have a period of time to share about what was going on for them spiritually right now. And probably that involves all of life. You know, spirituality is life encompassing. And the group would receive that. The group would not say, oh, you shouldn't feel like that, or, oh, how dumb, you know. The group just lets you be who you are and receives what you are saying. And then there would be a period, a little bit of quiet, and any member in the group who felt led to say something to you about what you said might do that, like a word of encouragement, a scripture maybe that would fit you, but not in any way negating what you have said, accepting totally what you are saying. And then, you know, anybody else in the group that wanted to share would do that, and then there would be a time of prayer together before you would close. So yeah, that is available. It's much less common than personal spiritual direction.
Something I was curious about was sort of a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I've worked on is that God sort of reveals things to you as you progress, and depending on where you're at. And I guess the conflict between getting these things sort of opened up inside of you and the conflicts in your other life, I mean, sort of like what God may tell you to do is one thing, but this other part of your life might be hard to let go of. And that, I mean, just even with like that 30-day retreat, I'm trying to understand, like, what if by the third week you're still on the first week?
I have not done the 30-day retreat, so I can't speak from experience, but what I've been told is that some miraculous way it works out. It seems to be a necessary... This Ignatian guy was just totally a marvel. He wrote this before he ever went for any theological education, and then later he became a priest and started the Jesuit order. And that's the backbone of the Jesuit order life. But from what I hear, and it's only hearsay, It happens. I can't tell you how. But if you were in the third week, when you got to day 25, or I mean the first week, by the 30th day, you'd be ready. I mean, I don't know how. And I suppose there are times when that is not the case, but that's what I am told.
You'd be ready for what?
For whatever God was going to lead you into into those next, you'd go very quickly through the next weeks. I mean, in a day you'd do a week, and in another day you'd do a week. And the terminology is funny here, but in the Ignatian retreat, it's organized into weeks. So you're there for 30 days, and you may spend 10 days on the first week, which is basically understanding God's love for you. And then the part with Jesus might go much faster. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you because I haven't been there and done that. But what I hear is it works out.
Now, I guess along with that is, I'm curious about as, I mean, God does all these things inside you and tells you all these things. With reading all these other little books about saints and all this kind of stuff, I'm curious if it's better just to let God just tell you all these things, or reading these books might make it a little more confusing, or if that's just their journey that you need to stay away from that because you get caught up in what happened to them.
I think my director's philosophy was it was better to wait with that until you've got your own journey underway. And then there's no problem with reading what happened to John of the Cross or Teresa or any one of those wonderful people. It can be very enriching, but it doesn't help you grow. You've got to do your own work in order to get any growth. And it's much better to establish sort of your own rhythm and your own style of interacting with God and experience some of that in yourself before you start just deciding, I want to be like that person. Because God treats us all differently. None of the saints were like any of the other saints. And none of us are going to be exactly like anybody else in how we relate with God and He with us. And so to just kind of let yourself be with that doesn't mean that at some time it isn't healthy and fruitful to read about these people. They were marvelous. And the insights were important for all of us to know. But they might not be right where you are right now. And that's where you need to be. What do you think? Anything else?
I was curious about the Ignatian thing, because a lady actually talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive is it doing all those type of things?
I would imagine it varies with place. There are some premier places that probably are more costly, but I think you could get it probably at a rather local retreat center who has someone trained in Ignatian retreats. For basically board and room and a director's fee of, I don't know how much. For a directed retreat of 8 days, it's probably $150 to $200 for the director plus room and board. So whether that goes up four times to do a 30-day retreat, I don't know. I have not investigated that. I would not recommend a 30-day retreat at the beginning of this process. I think it would be just really overwhelming, and you might want to leave after the first 2 days. I mean, going into a silent retreat for 30 days is no easy task. I started out with a 3-day, and that was like, am I ever going to get out of here? So I would think about that long and hard, but I don't think I would do it at the beginning of a growth until you've got some comfortableness with a lot of prayer, many hours of prayer, use of scripture. It's such a nebulous thing, it's really hard to describe. And so the best thing to do is to try it and see if it fits you. And if it doesn't fit you, then fine. Don't think you've failed or God doesn't love you or nothing good is going to happen in your life spiritually. It probably isn't for everyone. But if you have this sort of longing for something deeper in you spiritually than you're currently have available to you, then it's worth a try. And you might have to try two or three directors till you find the right one. That hasn't been my experience, but it does happen. But don't just sit there wanting something and not going after it. I mean, that kind of longing and that kind of desire is really God saying, hey, come on, come a little closer. I really want to know you better. I mean, it's really an invitation. So if it's there, pay attention to it.
I may say something that has been helpful to me. I am a Catholic, and I went to a Catholic school and retreats and mm-hmm. all that. But God was up there someplace. Mm-hmm. And one year I was teaching a seventh grade class. We call it CCD. And it was following in Jesus' footsteps. So at the beginning of the class, the lesson was pretty well prepared for us. I'm asking the children, do you talk to Jesus? Is Jesus your friend? Questions like this. I went home and I said, Phyllis, do you talk to Jesus? Not really. Is he your friend? Well, not really. I mean, God, sure, but what's God? Or you know what I mean? So I just started saying, okay, Jesus, if I'm to be your friend, you're going to have to show me how, because I guess I don't know. And it opened up a whole world to me. And I called it playing games with Jesus. I'd say, okay, Jesus, now. You know, and then... And just sort of started talking mm-hmm. like that, and it really was amazing to me.
That's wonderful.
What happened?
That's great.
I mean, for whatever that's worth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an exciting period in my life.
I bet. Yeah. Well, in case you want to get a taste of it while you're here, I am available for spiritual direction. I think it's posted on the thing now, or will be tomorrow. There are 3 hours in the day when I could do this. If you want to do it, I'm most happy to do that. And it would give you just a feel. Just to go through it once would give you a feel for what it's like and whether you want to pursue it. When you get back home or wherever you are going to. And we will use the little, in the visitor center upstairs in the northeast corner of the building, there's a really dismal room. It's not what you would experience if you went to a spiritual director somewhere else, but it's really dismal. And that's where I can be, and there's going to be a sign-up sheet on the board so that if you want to try that, that would be fun. I would enjoy doing that with you. Or if you don't want your name public, you can just put a note under my door, which is Lodge 3, Number 2. So...
Sure, you get it under the right door.
Yeah, get it under the right door. Lodge 3, Number 2.
That's
it. Me,
the best.
And if you think of a question between now and when you leave and you see me, just stop and ask. Okay, any other questions?
You do that for 3 hours instead?
I have said that I will be available to do that 3 hours a day, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you need to, I'll be here this week and next, so except on Sunday. I'm not going to do it on Sunday. And I don't really expect that I'll have all hours filled every day. But it's available if you want to. Well, thank you for your interest.
Thank you.
And if anybody wants to check out their geographical area.
This is by state?
Yeah, or region, I guess. And then, so you sort of have to figure out. Maybe there's a listing in the front of what.